Dr. Hollingsworth, thanks so much for being with us on The Green This Week. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
So what can you tell us about these Black History Forums that are getting started next week with the one on Juneteenth? What's the goal and what do you hope people can take away from them?
Well, I think that there's all of a sudden kind of a renaissance about the Black community in the United States now, and people want to, or they act like they want to know something, and as soon as they find out something they didn't know, then all of a sudden they're surprised. I know that last year when we did the panel with the governor on Juneteenth, I don't know how much he had known about it before then, but it was that was the beginning of it. And then, of course, after the legislature decided that they wanted to include Black history in the curriculum, then people really got interested in, you know, what is it about Blacks that we don't really know? Well, I can tell you that there's an awful lot, but...
I was going to say, I mean, you mentioned the fact that you had the forum last year around Juneteenth with Governor Carney, and then it was things that he was surprised to learn about. Does that still surprise you that even people like the governor of the state need kind of like a primer on Black history in Delaware?
Well, it doesn't surprise me because of the system in education in the state of Delaware and the fact that when you go back through the history anyway, that the English people, wherever they went, thought that everybody was stupid except them. And so they really didn't try to open their minds and their ears and eyes to the cultures of the countries where they were invading. And even with Blacks, a lot of people, Blacks and whites alike, to think that the Black people only got to this country as slaves without realizing that actually Blacks were here way before Christopher Columbus ever called himself discovering America. But there's so much that people don't know, and because it was never taught as a part of the history of the United States, people are ignorant. And so none of us know. We don't know what we don't know a lot of times, and there's an awful lot that we really don't know, especially if we haven't tried to study it. And in my experience, you know, white people for a long time only saw us as shadows, and, you know, we were supposed to be stupid. I've even been patted on my head and asked how I know so much, you know, kind of thing. But it's amazing what people don't know. And if you have no reason to try to learn about it, you know, you just keep on being ignorant.
This first forum is, again, going to focus in part because of the timing on Juneteenth itself. And, mm-hmm. and that's something that has been getting some increasing attention in recent years. Before we kind of delve into some of the other things you were talking about, you know, what do you feel people should know about Juneteenth? What we hope they would learn during a forum like next week's about Juneteenth?
Well, the Juneteenth actually is a kind of a misnomer in the way, you know, that a lot of people celebrate on several different ways, you know, days, I'm sorry, you know, from the 13th through the 19th, because there were slaves in the state of Texas who did not get the message of the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation until June, and so the various days, Juneteenth, and so when they got the message, then they started celebrating. I remember as a child that, you know, we used to celebrate the Emancipation Proclamation with watch night services, which is what Blacks would do actually the eve before January 1st, of the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation. But if, you know, again, you don't know something, you haven't gotten the information, then when you do, then, you know, that's when you're surprised. But there's so much about Black history that has been swept under the carpet, hidden from people, even like the Tulsa, Oklahoma. Sorry, I know you know about that one, too. The Black Wall Street and all that. You know, for 100 years almost, it was just swept under the rug, and people ignored that it happened, and that's more than 400 people were killed and all those kind of things. So, again, Juneteenth is the same way. All of a sudden, people are now finding out that this is a day that Blacks celebrated in Texas. I don't think it has the same, for me, importance of some of the holidays because mm-hmm. you know, it happened in Texas and not in Delaware.
Right.
Delaware is a little bit different because actually Abraham Lincoln even came to Delaware to talk to some of the legislators before the Emancipation Proclamation was signed. And I don't know whether a lot of people even know that.
Right.
Yeah, but there's so much that people don't know. And some of them are not really willing to learn. So the lady, who's going to be on the panel with us is from Texas, and she's going to be the one who actually is going to talk about Juneteenth as it relates to Texas. So,
and you had mentioned to me that you wanted to talk during the forum next week a little bit more about the Emancipation Proclamation itself. What are some of the things you're hoping to kind of connect with people on that about as part of this forum and kind of help them connect the dots between Juneteenth and the Emancipation Proclamation?
Well, one of the things is that Abraham Lincoln actually did not intend to free the slaves, and I think people need to know that. And he really wanted to save the Union. And it happened that in order to save the Union, there was all of this difference in the country, and he ended up having to make several changes in his initial Emancipation Proclamation in order to make it acceptable. And his intention actually was to send the slaves back to Africa or into South America and keep America as what they call the white country. That's one of the things. But I just want to try to inform people that we are celebrating something that certainly is important to us, but it didn't really do what many people think it did, and that is to free the slaves. It really did not.
Yeah, I just talking to you now about these things and how you kind of, you're able to kind of connect the dots between Juneteenth and the Emancipation Proclamation and kind of giving people, information about all these things and what they really mean, is the kind of this growing attention on Juneteenth and some of these other aspects of Black history helping, do you think, engage people more about Black history? I know you've said a couple of times, like, you only know what you know. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like these are real opportunities to really start this discussion and move this discussion forward in ways that it hasn't before?
I do, if people will receive it. If they will actually receive the fact that there is a lot that they don't know and could know, rather than saying that they don't want to know it and they don't want any of the negative histories actually brought to the fore, which is why some of the people are still right now just complaining about teaching Black history in the schools. But again, history is history, and we have to look at it rather than trying to sanitize it. And so that's what I think has happened a lot of times, that we've tried to sanitize history, especially as it relates to Blacks, because a lot, as I said earlier, a lot of people don't even realize that Blacks were in the United States before Christopher Columbus and before a lot of white people were here. And the impact is here. They, as a matter of fact, have a book that talks about the Blacks in the United States, written by Ivan Van Sertinum, called They Came Before Columbus, the African-American Presence in the Ancient America. And so if people really start to learn, I think they will have a different attitude about Blacks. At least that's the hope for most of us. But there are still some who want to close their ears, close their eyes, close their minds to anything that they think is going to somehow throw a negative light on them.
Is that also true of guess, yourself personally? I know you've discussed in the past a lot about your personal experiences with segregated schools in Delaware and pursuing your education. Mm-hmm. Is that also something that's important for people to hear, is to hear these more personal stories like yours that maybe can make this a little bit more real, if they're willing, as you said, to hear them?
Yeah, I think it has over the time that I've been talking about, because that's been all my life, or as a matter of fact, because when we were in the segregated schools, when I came along, the teachers actually included the contributions of Blacks in each of the subjects. And I had the opportunity actually to meet Carter G. Woodson, who was the one who started the Negro History Week, Black History Week now they call it, Black History Month now they call it. But his niece was my second and third grade teacher. And he came to visit her one time, and he came to school, and we all got a chance to meet him. But as I think about my own personal life, I had educated parents. My dad and mom were wanting to make sure we got an education, and my dad used to tell us that we didn't have to bow down to anybody because we were as good as everybody else, kind of thing. So my attitude was a little bit different. And they used to tell us, learn as much as you can, and the brain between the ears, the same color as everybody else, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So people have to open their minds, I think, and really want to know. And some of them really are. I've had, as a matter of fact, at our church, we had a discussion on a couple of books this past winter and spring. And a lot of the people who participated were from the white churches as well. And their eyes were opened because, you know, as I said, if you don't know something, you don't know it. And when you talk about some of the experiences that we had personally and otherwise, you know, a lot of people are surprised that these things occurred, especially when it wasn't important enough for them in their lives to see that it made a difference in somebody else's.
And you mentioned earlier, you know, the bill that's been passed by the General Assembly to improve teaching of Black history in schools here in Delaware, requiring school districts to include more Black history education in their curriculum. Clearly, this is a positive step, but I am wondering what you think that curriculum should look like, what it should emphasize. How important is it to have people like yourself help inform what this curriculum looks like to make sure that it actually produces the goal that it's set out to reach?
Well, I think it's important, and I think that there are a few of us still left who have personal experiences with the segregated education in the state of Delaware, and not all of us received a broader experience. As I said, my dad and mother were sticklers for education, so kind of thing that How do I say this? Actually, they made sure that we learned what we could, and they, you know, made sure that we read. They taught us to read and write before we went to school, which is another stickler of mine. You know, mm-hmm. There was a law in the state of books, I think until 1973, that said blacks in the state of Delaware only needed enough education to read, write, and count a bit. And my response to that is, well, I needed to go to school because my parents had already taught me that before I went to school. You know, that's my smart answer. but you see, again, it points to that point that I've been making all along, that you don't know what you don't know. And you know, everybody knows something that somebody else does not know.
That lived experience, mm-hmm. is you really can't substitute it.
Right.
And I guess that the key for this kind of curriculum is understanding that you've got to try and pull as much of that lived experience as you can together to teach young people so that they have a foundation that they're not surprised when they're 30, 40, 50 years old to hear stories and things that you're talking about with us today.
Yeah, they need to really realize that there are, not only with black people, but with all cultures, like a lot of people, they talk about Africa as if it were a country
right.
instead of a continent. Well, you know, if you look at all the countries, I think there are 43 countries in Africa, each of them speaking a different language, and then you bring all these slaves over here calling them ignorant because they don't speak English. Well, nobody called the whites Englishmen and the people who were stealing the slaves and bringing them over here, call them ignorant because they didn't know the various Swahili and all the various mm-hmm. languages that were spoken in the countries in Africa. So it's that kind of thing that people really, I think, need to know, that there's a broad world out here, and stop closing your mind to whatever it is. You know, open your mind to receive whatever there is to learn about everything. A lot of the inventions that people take for granted, for instance, were actually inventions made by black people. Not all of them got credit for it because the whites would steal their ideas and patent it for themselves, but there are lots of things that we blacks know that were invented by black people, but whites got credit for it. And, of course, there were other things that more recently that, you know, blacks did get credit for it. You know, the windshield wiper, the stop mm-hmm. sign, all those kind of things, the cars that people drive, and the sewing machine, a lot of things that we know as blacks, or some of us know. I don't even know, the younger ones don't know it because they've never been taught it.
Right.
But, yeah, there's an awful lot that we can learn, and you know, I hope I live long enough to help at least open the door so that it will be a part of the ongoing history.
Well, I want to finish on this because you mentioned keeping an open mind and people being willing and receptive to hear these things and learn these things. Mm-hmm. Do you worry that there was still a fair amount of resistance to the bill, you know, trying to get more black education into curriculum? Do you mm-hmm. worry that resistance is still an indication that there's not enough receptiveness and what that might mean for actually trying to implement a bill like this?
I do worry about it because it's that kind of thing when blacks start making progress, there's always somebody making a law or taking some kind of actions to dispel the progress of the blacks. And that's in our history as well. If you go, you know, even as I mentioned, Tulsa and the Florida, the Rose Rosemont City and all the others that were destroyed by whites because blacks were making too much progress. And you know, even in Delaware, there was a school that was built by blacks down in Slaughter Neck. You know where Slaughter Neck is, mm-hmm. I know.
Yep.
And it was actually burned by the white man's party. And they said that blacks didn't need any education, so there was no point for them to have a school. Well, that was right here in Delaware, mm-hmm. you know. And a lot of people, I don't think, even know that because like, they don't study their Delaware history. I don't know where it is in the Delaware history, except that I, you know, as a black person, have studied both black history and have had the experiences of traveling extensively and all those kind of things that have opened me up for receiving and not being closed-minded about the contributions of people worldwide.
Dr. Hollingsworth, I really appreciate your time and this conversation with you today, and really looking forward to hearing what you and the other panelists have to say at next week's virtual forum. Again, we appreciate your time, and thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate that.